This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
And even since JFL, like, I've had conversations with other comics that are just like, they don't pick me, you know, then forget them or how, you know, and I was just like, hey, do you know how long I've been doing comedy before? You know, and I'm like, you've been doing comedy 3 days. Like, calm down. Like, you'll, like, it's going to be fine. Like, you know, but I just remember going, you know what? Some things happen when they are supposed to. And I know it sounds all new agey and weird, but it's like, you know what? Like, I remember telling one of my friends when I got, I was just like, oh my God. I was like, does it seem like I've been doing comedy forever? And then I, you know, got it. And my friend was like, you know what, Mia? I'm going to point this out to you. She said, look at your work ethic prior to when, she's like, you know, look at it now since you only had to do comedy. Look at your work ethic to when you still had your day job and you were pursuing comedy. So she was like, so this tracks for a person that's been going at it as hard as you have in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. Mm. She's like, well, it does make sense that you would get it.
Hot breath. Ooh, hot breath-a-verse. Welcome to Hot Breath-isode 129. I am your favorite host, comedian Joel Byers, and you know what time it is. Hot breath. Today's very special episode, aka Hot Breath-isode, is our second repeat guest. We have only had a few here in the Hot Breath-iverse, and this lady was actually my fifth guest ever. I interviewed her over 2 years ago, right before she appeared on NBC's Last Comic Standing, and now she has since moved on to working with Amy Schumer, touring around, actually becoming a full-time comedian. We talked in episode 5, or aka Hot Breath-isode. Is that a little cheesy, Guinness? My dog is looking at me like, bruh, what would your wife say? She would say, press on to this intro and shut up and get to the interview. So let's just do that. She sounds just like me, her voice. We were a match made in heaven. So anyway, if you want to jump back to Mia's original interview, she was just making a transition from her corporate job into becoming a full-time comedian, and now she is an established touring comedian making a sustainable living. It's an amazing story to see. I remember, you know, sharing open mic stages with Mia, and now to see where she is now is truly inspirational. And the insight she provides in this Hot Breath-isode, yo. I love releasing these every Monday and trying to pack as much information into each one, and this one does not disappoint. This is a masterclass on the business side of comedy. What to look for, red flags, what to look out for. Lessons she learned the hard way, you can learn right here on Hot Breath. So thank you for your time. If you do enjoy this and find it beneficial, just simply sharing it with someone you know that you think would also find it beneficial is all I'll ask you to do. Unless you want to leave an iTunes review, and that always makes a big difference as well in helping us get new listeners. But beside the point, let's get into it. So I said all that to say, there's only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath with Mia
totally fine, don't worry.
Jackson.
What is this? You have little drink.
We have water.
Should I put a label around this?
No, you're fine.
Did you just lick my ankles?
Yeah, a lot's changed since you did this last. This is called Fontis water. They're a local spring water from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia.
You love me, Guinness.
Who does? Everybody loves Mia.
But Guinness will not let me live my life and sit down. let's see, how do I want my hair?
I know, last time you had bang, and now you got the full getup.
I got a full Weavology.
But this is where it's gonna be like posted. This is just live to show how many people don't care.
On the Facebooks.
And Instagram.
Has it started yet?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, there's people in here. Yeah. But so this one will go on YouTube.
Did I hear me talking about pee?
No.
Okay.
I waited till after.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Also, didn't just start. Yeah.
Now they brought it up. When you talk about pee. Oh, yeah. And this is Guinness's first appearance on
Guinness.
Hot Breath.
You are out of control. Hey, hold on. Let me.
Hey, dog.
Let me turn this down.
I'm going to tell him stay as if he's trained. Stay.
How long? And you've had Guinness the whole.
We've had him like 2 months.
Oh.
We rescued him.
No. Oh, no wonder he's a new baby.
Yeah, he got like hit by a car, so he has like new
him back
hips.
To health.
He had surgery, and we've been nursing him back to health.
Isn't that sweet?
And it's his first Hot Breath cameos. It's a big day.
No wonder, Guinness. All right, I didn't know you had been. You had a hard life.
Do you have a dog?
I do not. I did. My family had a pit for years that I should be talking into the microphone dramatically.
Perhaps, or just talk towards it. That'll help.
It feels like a purse.
It feels like a purse. A rescue purse from Goodwill.
My parents had a dog for years. We had a Jack Russell. He was very fat and overweight. His name was Cowser Jackson.
Well, were you feeding it human food?
He just was fat. That was the one dog that we actually bought dog food for. He was the, you know how people are always like, black people feed their dogs real food.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Because I know what the people, I know what the people are saying. And I'm here to tell you.
I'll tell them that for you.
Where am I looking? Listen, people.
Let the Hot Breath verse know.
My parents had a dog, rest his soul, that we actually cared about and took to the vet. So.
Wow.
He had special dog food. Like he had his own room, all kinds of stuff.
His own room.
He did. It was a bathroom that we didn't use, and that's where he lived.
Was this in Columbus?
Stop.
Is he licking you?
He is licking me. I don't want to be licked.
Guinness, I'm so sorry. He's never been around. He's only been around my wife, and she's married, so he's, I don't know. Is this safe for work? Was that angle safe for work? He'll settle. Simma, him.
What was I saying?
Oh, just your dog, Jack Russell, and how you actually cared for them.
And my parents had a dog when I was younger. They had a Doberman named Asia Minor.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm pretty certain our neighbor poisoned him.
Oh, this is back in Columbus, Georgia.
Columbus, Georgia, years ago. I know who did it.
Oh, really?
I do.
My parents,
I hope they're not watching right now because they probably don't want me telling. But I know who did.
I'm sure statute of limitations.
Probably.
It's probably been a minute.
Probably happened when I was about 3. So I should.
Okay.
And I am old now. So.
And you're what, 21, right?
Let's go with that. That is 21? Correct. So
yeah, happy birthday.
It happened 18 years ago, guys.
Yes, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
Miss Jackson. Woo. No, you've never heard that before.
I love it. Somebody just recently was like, oh, you should always come up to that song. And I was like, I'm dumb. Like, why didn't I think I should come up to Miss Jackson at shows? Okay, yeah.
Do you do the kind of shows that come out to like DJs? Do you even?
Not always.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't matter, does it, Joel? No, not always. I never do music shows, but.
Because it's a specific type of show sometimes. Even clubs will do it now, though, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it gives a little oomph to going on stage.
It's a little momentum and a little energy.
Yeah.
You have to keep leaning.
I know. I could probably just sit like this, couldn't I?
You could. Yeah. I think it'll be fine. It'll pick you up.
Okay.
Yeah. We've come a long way. This is now my equipment.
This is your equipment.
You did episode 5 and it wasn't even my equipment. I was borrowing equipment from like a sound engineer.
I did not know that it was borrowed.
Yeah, it was not mine. And now we're out here. We're doing video and we're living and
we're live.
We got water in. It's all legit. That's for you.
You got labeled water.
Yep. Anybody can do it with Fontis. That's our sponsor. Cool. And then I'll add a thing in post that flashes it up between us. They didn't even ask me to do that. I just thought it would be cool.
Nonetheless.
So it's very exciting to catch up with you because when I interviewed you last,
You were just, you hadn't even appeared on Last Comic Standing yet.
I had not.
You had taped it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It had not aired. Exactly. Yeah. And now it's aired and you seem to be building momentum. This was, I posted it August of 2015. Just to give a context for maybe even how far ago that was.
Yeah, because it had just, it would have come, it would have started airing that July, I think.
Or maybe I did the interview before it aired and then posted it after it aired. Yeah. Maybe I did that just for, you know, because so many people were listening.
Right,
and I was like, I want to make sure NBC doesn't get on the hot trail.
But we're here now.
We are. And how is the Miiverse?
How is we'll call it? You know, it is dramatic.
Traumatic?
No, I said no dramatic. No, it's fine. You know what? I've just been just working. I mean, that's really just kind of just
it's awesome
working. And like I don't have a residence in Atlanta anymore, and so I sort of kind of am in DC quite a bit. And I'm in DC, so I can go to New York until I can get my life together to go. I officially live here now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like a transitional.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
halfway there.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good because I can get there. And I mean, it's pretty easy to get to from DC. So, just go up there and then work when I can. And
for New York and like film.
I don't just like clubs and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
So. What has the transition been? Because at that moment, you were almost transitioning out of your corporate work into like, here I go.
I was, and
now you're doing it.
This now been, that was April of 2014.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I still can't. Yeah, I it's been pretty interesting because it all happened so fast. Because it was like April of 2014. April 2014. Job, all that stuff happened at the job where they were like, we hate you. And I was like, I hate you guys too. I always refer to it as acquiring a quit firing. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to call it. Because they were like, you should work in another department. And I was like, or not here at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so by that fall, I had already, you know, I knew I was going to be on Last Comic Standing. And then it was just stuff just started happening back to back to back. And you know, and then like it's been that long, and one of the craziest things, like around that time, I had just like 2 or 3 months beforehand, I went and got a brand new car, and I'm just like, because clearly this, I'm going to be working at this job forever.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, I don't have what am I going to do? And, but mama been able to make them payments.
Oh, snap. She ever dances
since
now?
Then.
Oh.
What? No. Yeah, so it's been, and I remember even somebody saying to me, like, why are you going to pay for your car? And I was like, with money.
From comedy, too. From,
yeah. So it's been good just to be like, wow, I've been able to get stuff done, you know? And so, just stuff just, you know, but now, like I said, I'm just kind of just working, just trying to just get a foothold wherever I can and harass people and to let me headline. And
that's what I was going to ask about is actually I'm now a little over 8 years in, and I just did my taxes, and I was like, oh, I need money.
That's what I need.
It's like, oh, I'm over 8 years in now. I was like, okay, maybe it's time to actually, like, I'm full-time in comedy, but it's all been like, since I've gone full time, it's all just been sustaining, like just keeping my head above water.
Gotcha.
No wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, you know what? This should be like a productive profession.
Right. Like I should get a profit.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
And not, you know, and not be paying it to Sally Mae, AKA my wife. You know, that's what I call her. <You know? laughs> So that's fortunate that, you know, I live with her because I got married since we did the interview as well. So we're all just
grown
up.
How long has it been now? Has it been 2 years?
A little over a year. Okay. A little over a year.
Good Lord.
April 1st, 2017. Mm. We did it.
I feel like it happened in 2016, but it's your life. And I can't be throwing dates on the stuff because I want the schedule to work in my head.
Yeah, we had Griff. Griff was the officiant of our wedding.
Like, really?
Yeah, comedian Griff. Yeah, it was funny. But yeah, I cried and then he booed me. It was.
Did he boo you?
He booed me. In my own. I did cry. I cried a lot. Yeah, it was.
Be still my heart. That is beautiful.
I was reading my own vows and I was struggling to get through it, and he just like booed me. He's like, come on, homie.
Please tell me you have footage of this.
I don't have footage of this. I have photos.
Why did you not get a videographer?
I don't know. Listen, when you plan a wedding.
You didn't think about it.
There are so many. All I did was be like, okay, here's the spreadsheet she sent me today. Mm-hmm. Whatever's on here, okay, cool. I'll get that done. I'm not worried about what or when. I'm just worried about. She sent me this. Okay, I will do this.
So you just followed through on your checklist.
I just followed rules, yeah.
You didn't have your own.
Wedding planning. If you can survive that, you can survive a marriage.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. I never got around to it, which is why I never got married. So, I remember my friend was like, I'm going to get
you. Didn't mean to bring up a
No. I think it's hilarious. One of my friends was like, I'm going to get you a stack of books. And I was like, ooh, literature. I was like, wet leg. I was like, do I have to read? But it was like checklist of, you know, how to do all these things on a budget. And I was like, or I could just not do this at all.
Yeah.
And save myself a lot of stress.
Life hack.
Yeah.
So since then, now that I do have a wife and I have a dog, you know, I have a family to provide for, I'm trying to be, and, you know, just for the sake of being a comedian, I want to be able to, like you said, turn a profit, make it a business. Mm-hmm. So you saying, you know what, I've just been working. You make it sound like it's magic and it's easy to make happen. How have you been able to generate this, like, momentum? And spare no detail, you know.
You know, really. I would probably say, I would think for me, it's been just a level of consistency,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, give the people that.
Because as we all know, I murder. Okay, no, that's not true.
You are.
No. I think I'm okay. Like,
you're,
I think
you're
I'm
a cold-blooded killer.
I think I'm all right. Yeah. But when I say consistency, I mean just as far as like the professionalism part, just going, I show up when I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been told to do a certain amount of time, or if I've been told not to do a certain amount of time, then you just follow directions. And that's kind of usually what I tell people all the time. I'm like, just follow directions. Like, that will make things a lot easier. Hmm. Just, you know, and so, and then are there times where I maybe have gone a minute or two over? Sure. But it doesn't happen often.
Stick to the light.
But yeah, but if people ask you to, you know, hey, are you gonna, you know, these are the dates that I book you, you show up and you do the job that you got asked to do, and don't tear up things when you get there, don't be destructive towards people, you mm-hmm. know, just be cool. I mean, that's kind of the thing I've always been like, is just follow directions, be cool, and also remember, you know, it's still work. Like, it's still, you know, work, but it's a job that you, you know, if you care about comedy, like, hey, but this is a job I care about. And when it came to my corporate job, when it was like, oh, you should be on time, I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
Of course.
I'm not going to show up here on time or do what I'm supposed to do or work the hours that you want me to work, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be here. But for things that I care about, it's like, you know what, just follow directions, you know, can do enough to get invited back.
How are you able to find these to begin with?
What, just the rules?
The bookings.
Just the gigs?
Yeah, the gigs.
For me, a lot of it has been, like, I guess just kind of building up a lot of groundwork while I had the corporate job. So just knowing people, working people. But again, I think the reason why people asked me to do things is because they went, oh, she's solid, you know, or it might have been someone that I worked with at, you know, Punchline, Laughing Skull or somewhere, who's like, oh, yeah, I remember her. Or next time I come to town, I should request that person to host. I should request that person to feature. And then that person might go, oh, well, if you ever come to such and such, let me, you know, and then they'll just refer, you know. And so I get a lot of referrals, and then, you know, just people going, oh, you should book Mia. And then I'll reach out to those people. And sometimes they email me back, and sometimes they don't.
And sometimes they book you to open up at Phillips Arena.
Sometimes
it's
night,
Amy
right?
Schumer.
Were you there that night?
White people look the same though.
But someone you knew was there, right? Because I remember someone telling you the next day or something. I mean, I saw you the next day after I did it.
I saw you at Punchline.
Yes.
That was because you went from Amy Schumer, Phillips Arena, to Punchline with 20 people.
Yeah, because
I was just like, that's comedy.
Right, because I featured like that Thursday and Friday, I think. And then Saturday I did the show with her, then Sunday I came back and you were like, hey, I thought you were.
Yeah.
Ed. And I was like, I was at Phillips Arena. You're like,
I did make it, yes, but that is comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And she's been very, very helpful to me. And mm-hmm. so it's just been like, I can't say enough. Like, she's been super cool. But that's how I met her, though, from working at the Punchline and her being like, oh, I like you. Like, are you hosting tomorrow night? And, you know, she's like, okay, I think you should, you know, are you going to come back again? I'm like, okay. And then that's how I met her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just having some home training.
What have you learned from even just being around comedians? I haven't been around or worked with somebody of her caliber, but even just higher caliber comedians, mm-hmm. I'm always looking to see what I can learn from them. What can I absorb? Even if I don't specifically ask them things, it's just seeing how they move and how they operate. What have you learned about being in her orbit?
Like, it's just a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people think, like, you just get on stage and that's all there is to it. But, like, you know, when I see her, I'm like, she has, like, all this stuff going on. Like, you know, just it's just everything happening all at once. But she still is like, all right, I'm going to go out there and do this show. And, you know, and I mean, but on that level, obviously, it's other stuff that comes into play where, you know, it's road managers and, you know,
a lot of distractions,
different kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but it's cool, like, to see that, to go, oh, so that kind of helps keep a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff that we would deal with where you're like, oh, did I get my bag, or did I bring my merch, or where's this thing? Where you have somebody that's like, oh, this cool thing is already being done. Like, I just worked with Arsenio Hall recently.
Yeah, and, saw that.
Yes, in Indianapolis at Morty's, and like his assistant, like he just made everything like just move, just super, super smooth. And it was just like, oh, this is what happens when you can just, like, you just walk in and do your, I mean, you know, but it's cool to see, like, well, on that level, like, okay, you have some kind of a buffer between like mm-hmm. some of the stuff that could normally stress you out. It's like, oh, you get to go up here and just relax. You can have fun, and, you know, you're not having to worry about just like, did I book a hotel? Did I do this thing? Did I do, you know, because in my head, I'm always like looking at notes and going, that thing is checked off. But it's like, you got that person there to go, I can help make your life easier. So it was just really cool, like seeing like, oh, this is what happens when somebody's like big time, you know, like, oh, you know,
and less then, static.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and, but just from a business standpoint too, I mean, not, you know, when somebody else is speaking on your behalf, that sometimes makes things a lot easier too, because, you know, I mean, I've, you know, just in general from working in clubs where I hear people go, well, have you worked with so-and-so, or this person's rude, or this person's that, because that person might be asking for that thing themselves. But when, you know, or if I ask for something myself, I'm like, hey, can I get a water? You know, like, she's in asking for water, you know, but then like, but if it came from an assistant, they would be like, you know, Miss Jackson needs water. And it would be like, you know what I mean? So it's just that's the, like, when I see that level, I'm like, oh, like, it's a, like, there's things to help kind of keep people, you know, insulated from just kind of stuff where you can like really just focus on the craft and the art and all that kind of stuff.
Are they going through show notes as well? Like, were they in that much in the show?
I think I've seen her with notes. Like, I'm trying to think, I don't think I saw Arsenio with notes, but I mean, I know he like, but he, you know, he watched me, you know, and had some notes for me, you know, so I awesome. Thought that was cool. So,
yeah.
But I like that too. That it's like there's such a stress relief off of, you know, when you get to that level where you can go, I can watch other people's sets and, you know, cause I'll be sometimes so in my head before a set to where I'm like, I can't listen to that person. I can't listen to this person until my thing is done, you know? So that's a, you know, cool thing too, where you're like, oh, I got this big time person can look at me and go, I'll give you notes. And in fact, actually, that made me think about something else, which is jumping around. But when I did JFL this past year, like,
just for laughs,
yeah.
Montreal, so, no big deal.
But like, I was actually, they, you know, they, you know, we could ask for feedback on our sets. And then so she, you know, Amy asked me, it's like, oh, what are you going to do in your set? And I was like, if you don't mind, would you read over the notes? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So it was just super cool to go, I got one of the biggest comedians right now to go, I will look over your set for you.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
What kind of feedback did you get?
Just like, you know, just talking about like the order of the set. She was the like, order. Oh, I think this order is good. She was like, I think this joke, she was like, this line right here is killer. This one is killer. Like, I think this is a good 6 minutes. And I'm like, do I need to take anything out? Do I need to keep, you know? And it was just really cool to go, wow, like she actually took time to reach down and help me. So, and I think that's the other thing too, when people get to that level as well, where it's like, you know, the people that are the good people, I think, in the business that are like, I will always turn around to help somebody too. And you know, you would think that if somebody's that huge, they're like, I don't have time for those things. But I think that's a thing that I've learned too, to go, oh, I should always, I mean, I help a lot of people anyway, all the time anyway.
Yeah, mama mia.
Because everybody always be asking. No, which I don't, but it just made me go like, okay, well, I'm doing the right thing. Like if people that are the million steps ahead of me can reach back and help, then I'm on the right path if I'm always helping people too.
Yeah. That's what I've noticed even in booking this podcast is I'll reach out. You know, I'm not shy about reaching out, like do a moonshot and just reach out to a big comedian who's in town or whatever, or to their management and just seeing the behaviors of, I'll reach out to a big level person. They may say no, but they respond. Mm-hmm. And I'll reach out to like a lower level person, just like, oh yeah, I'll just get that. And they don't even respond.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, so those are the kind of behaviors that get you to beyond just like the sustainable level or whatever.
Yeah, so that's what I would say. Just like because I mean, obviously when you see people who are, you know, famous and stuff, you knew that they did the hard work. But but like I said, to me, it's those other things that I'm watching more like, oh, look at what she did or look at what he did. And, you know, because even when I did the shows, Arsenio's assistant was like, oh, yeah, you know, he actually had a note for you for one of your jokes. And I was like, and he was like, I can't remember what it was, but I'll get it from him. And I'm just like, he was watching my set, you know, like, oh, that's so cool, you know. And it was just really cool to go like, you know, like, that's cool, that's a cool thing to do. So
you're worth it.
I try, you know, I'm gonna try to do what I can.
You are, because you're like a professional working comedian. Like, it's cool to see your progress from just seeing you at open mics to now you're like, oh, you know, I've just been working. You're like, it's you know, just working, you know. And I've talked to Landry because he's big on like cruise ships now. Yeah, and it's like how he's talking about it now, it's almost like a job. He's like, you're just clocking in on the cruise,
and do your work, and you try to, you know. And then I still like feel like I'm trying to get better, you know. Like, I mean, that, like, that to me, that part never stops, you know. So it's like I just keep working and keep trying.
How about the rebook is what I've heard is like the most important part. Getting booked once, but the rebook is where you start to build.
Yeah, just, you know, and to me, and I have had some problems with following up as a person. That is something.
Really?
Like, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to email that person. Then I'll go, oh, I forgot. You know, so that, but I do try to, I do try to be like, as soon as I work somewhere, you know, I will try to send an email afterwards or a text or something and go, thank you so much for letting me work. You know, hey, I would love to come back again. And, you know, oh, yeah, let me know. And then so I try to give it enough, a reasonable enough amount of time to, like, I'm not going to email them back like the next week and go, hey, what up with that date? You know, but like, you know, since I know most clubs will try to bring, especially with features, they'll bring somebody back, you know, that person might come back 3 or 4 times a year, but with headliners, they like, might be just twice a year. So like, oh, okay, you know what? I should probably, you know what? When did I last work that club? I last worked them in July. All right, it's been enough time now. I can send another email and, you know, follow up and see what they're thinking now, you know.
Do you have a calendar set up of your dates and...
I do.
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty here.
I do.
Here.
You know what? And I like the fine print. Yeah, so detail-wise, yes. Actually, shout out to my boo for that. Because I would get frazzled all the time where I would have a... Because one cool tip I picked up from Landry back in the day when we used to be roommates, he would keep a big dry erase board calendar on the wall. And it would just, he would write out all his dates on there. And, you know, so that way, if he was, you know, sitting at home or something and somebody called, he could look up and, oh, okay, I got such and such week open, or I got this date open. And so I started doing that. But then, for me, I still have to physically write stuff down so I can go, I wrote it, I committed it to memory. But my boo's like, listen, why don't you just why don't you put that in your Google calendar? He's like, you know, you use Google for everything else. So like put everything in your calendar. And when I say everything is in there, like mm-hmm. everything, like, I mean, I have, not that this has anything to do with comedy, but like I have my bills are in there, like my due dates for bills, mm-hmm. you know, because it, when I first went full time, it would be like when I had my day job in my head, I would go, oh, you know what? Got to pay Capital One on the 15th. I remember that. But then as I started getting busier, I would go, oh, wait, what day is it? Did I do that thing? So like I have a separate calendar for all my personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I have a separate calendar under another account for my comedy stuff. So like everything is color coded. So anything that's comedy related is in a certain color. And that's whether I'm going to do a podcast, whether it was I'm going to meet with someone about something, like my week, you know, for if I'm working at a club for a week, then that's all in my calendar. But then, you know, I have both of them displayed so that I can see like, oh, well, this is what's going on in my personal life at that same time. So will I be able to make this thing or that thing work or not work? So
do you take a day to just inventory the week, or how do you organize your time with that?
Yeah, I will, you know, just to, you know, every couple of weeks I'll go back and, you know, try to make sure like, okay, do I have this thing in here? Who do I need to follow up with? Did I write this thing down? You know, so I will go back and check just to make sure. And then I might go back and look to go, what was I doing last year at this time? Then I'll go back last year, go, oh, okay, that's when I worked at such and such. You know what? Yeah, like I said, should it be a good enough time now to email this person and say, can I come back? So
how do you drum up the new work?
Just asking people, really. Like if I know my friends have worked somewhere, like if I have a friend that I know is a headliner and they don't mind bringing me as a feature, then I might just be like, hey, you know, if you don't have anybody coming with you, can I come? Or if I have a friend that is a headliner, they might go, well, you don't need to come here as a feature. Like I'll just get them your info and you follow up with them yourself. So I'll, you know, kind of go check out my friends' calendars or just ask them like, hey, who are you working with right now? Like, what club did you just work? Oh, okay, cool. Is that a cool club? Like, is, you know, if you don't mind, would you share the contact info with me? Right. You know, that kind of thing, which also there needs to be some etiquette around it for people to ask for that kind of stuff too. Like, don't just be like, give me your info, you know? So if it's people I'm cool with, it's a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, do you know Trey Black? You know Trey Black?
Yeah.
I remember when I first started comedy, he used to tell me all the time, he used to go, work gets work, work gets work. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh, okay, you know what? So if I'm working with somebody and if I talk to another comic, I'm actually going to get most of my work from other comics. So
Does that seem to be true now at this level of your career?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I'm trying to think of all the things that I've done. Like I said, it's been stuff that Amy's referred me to that I've gotten to do. It's been like Drew Thomas. Like we just worked together last week at Hilarities in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So like he'll work somewhere and be like, oh, you know what? I got to get you into such and such club. Or if I go work such and such club, how about next time I go, I'll bring you the feature so they can see that you're a strong, you can actually, you know, you're strong feature, but they'll see you can actually headline. So he'll, you know, he's brought me with him to stuff. So, you know, just people tell him like, oh, you got to hit up this person or you should call this person. But, and then every once in a while, I'll get somebody contacting me on my website where they'll be like, hey, are you, you know, we saw your videos and blah, blah, blah. And
those, like, are the best.
Yeah.
The website messages are always unique.
They are sometimes they are strange. More often than not, I've gotten specifically older white men with glasses like to email me quite a bit, not about work, just like, hey, I saw your videos and I was hoping you were going to be in Montana soon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I will never be there ever.
Not for you.
But I do get, you know, I'll get requests sometimes. Like, hey, I saw you on such and such, or hey, I heard about you from this person, you know, or they might have seen me at a show and they're like, her website must be MiaJackson.com. I'll send her a message. So
Even going on your website, even just preparing for this interview, I saw you now have management.
I do. Nat Goldberg.
In the game.
Shout out to Nat.
And it's the same agency that has like Gabriel Iglesias. And I saw like Joe Coy and a bunch of cool people on there. Because it's like one thing to like be a comedian who's featuring around the country or whatever, making do, but then it's almost like another plateau you're hitting.
Yeah, yeah. And then
another tier, not plateau.
I initially met her because she manages the Well Read guys, you know.
Trey Crowder.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was something they were doing, and They recommended me to her to like do whatever this thing was with them.
A comic recommendation.
Yeah, again. Callback.
Yeah.
And so that's when I initially met her. And, you know, I was just like, oh, well, she's cool. She's super nice. She's great. Uh-huh. And then we always keep in touch. And I would just sometimes like, hey, I got a question. Like, you're a manager. Maybe you could, like, do you know how I should handle this thing? You know, so just, I'll just ask her questions sometimes. And then, like after I did JFL, cause I did New Faces Unrep. So I didn't have management or anything mm-hmm. when I went in. And so shortly after JFL, she's like, I was like, oh my God, you're a manager now. I have a manager. We're working together. So that's how I ended up, you know, but that's how I met her. I met her like a year and a half before almost. So yeah.
And when you say contacting her in the meantime, is this through social media or do you have an email?
Yeah, like Facebook Messenger, where I would be like, Facebook Messenger, you know, okay. Just like, you know, because there's certain people that I've met just throughout the years. I'm like, hey, if you don't mind, like, can I run this by you? Or do you think this sounds crazy? Or, you know, mm-hmm. I want to ask your advice as a, you know, a person being on the, you know, the business side of things. Like,
yeah.
Can you give me some advice on this thing or that thing? So,
but this is like after you've met them in person.
Yeah.
You're not heckling these people.
Yeah. I'm not comedians, just, yeah. Like, don't just be finding people and bothering them. And,
right.
You know, like,
right.
Connection is very important. Meeting with people, talking to people and actually having that, you know, face to face, like, oh, hey, Joel. Cause now, yeah. You know, I could go, maybe I want to do a podcast, but I can reach out to you, I would hope, directly.
Of course,
you know?
I've had so many people reach out about like tips on how to start one.
But yeah, but like just cold calling. I don't really recommend it. Like, I just kind of feel like you should establish some kind of connection with people before you just hit them
yes.
up.
Yes, and yeah. have etiquette in your messages.
And if you do cold call, have some etiquette about it. But yeah, I mean, and I get people that hit me up and ask me questions, and some of the questions I get sometimes I'm like, oh dear. Like, if you're talking to me like this, I'm gonna imagine if you were having conversations with industry people, you are all out of order.
What kind of things?
Just sometimes I'll just get people people just don't get it, you know, and they'll be like, hey, you know, I saw you was doing such and such. I'm just wondering how I too can get involved in that aspect of comedy. And I'll be like, oh, are you, do you do stand up? No, not at all. I was just wondering, cause I saw you doing it. And I'm like, oh dear, I hope this person isn't just wildly just hitting up people across the country.
Right.
And, you know.
Or even emailing clubs, like, you know, I book my weekly show. And if somebody emails me and is like, yo, let me get a spot. Like, no introduction. No, just it literally will say just like, yo, let me get a spot.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
that's the whole message.
Right. I'm just, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, like, at least say, hey, Joel, yo.
Heard right. you had a show. Heard would you love a spot.
Yeah, just
something
do
is
that.
Just professionalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, when you go to clubs, conduct yourself professionally.
Yeah.
Same thing when you're not at the club, but interacting with professional people. Be professional if you want to be professional.
Just be cool, you know, just be cool. Don't, you know, and just, you know, don't be the, you know, because it's been, you know, your work club sometimes. And oh, yeah, we don't do such and such anymore because this comic, you know, destroyed this thing or this comic did this thing. You're like,
right.
People are coming here destroying things. Like, yikes, you know, so.
Well, how has getting a manager affected your career?
It's been like, I mean, we're still kind of in the, you know, building stages mm-hmm. and stuff, but it's good because like I said, you have that thing where I said earlier where somebody can speak for you, somebody, you know, like mm-hmm. certain things that like if somebody's contacted me like, hey, I saw your, you know, I saw you, your website, and I was just wondering if you could come do my open mic spot, you know, do 5 minutes. I'm like, that's not something I would be like, oh, I should send this to Matt. Because I'm like, I can tell this person no myself, you know, like that's just crazy, you know. But if something seems like it might be like, oh, like, because I think at one point I got some email where it was like, you know, like, oh, we would love for you to audition for this thing. And so that's the kind of stuff I would forward to her and go like, have you heard of this? Is this legitimate? Is this real? Mm, you know, or mm-hmm. you know, will you find out more information for me? You know, stuff like that, you know, okay. So. Or sometimes if it's just coming from a different voice, it just, you know, I think people are like, oh, I'll respond to this, you know.
So what is a manager, what is
their
responsibility?
Do?
Yeah. Does she find you gigs as well or what?
This is just me. Oh, do you want to know what managers
got excited.
I was squealing and I'm sorry, purse.
Purse. That's hilarious. My wife.
To me, it kind of it seems more like a I'm gonna guide your career, and I will help guide you to, you know, different things I think you should be doing, or things that we think together that you should be doing. Because I mean, I feel like it should be a partnership.
Is he licking you again? I'm sorry. How can you not?
Purse. Let me see. Here we go. We're just gonna.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, at least you didn't shed.
We'll just sit you here. But I'm totally fine. No, it's fine. I like purses. But to me, it's more like like good managers, I think, are gonna like guide you into certain things, or you know, suggest like, oh, you should go to this place, or you should go do this thing, or hey, make a trip to go to LA for a week so we can do this, or you know, stuff like that, or or hey, are you gonna, you know, like, are you gonna be in this festival, you're gonna do, like, to me, that's kind of what I've gathered. Because you'll sometimes meet people who say that they're managers, and it's just like, no, you just want to say this so you can take 10% of the nothing I'm making.
Exactly.
you know, because I've had that before, like, hey, we want to manage you, and then I'm just like, all you're doing is forwarding me emails. Like, this isn't, you aren't telling me whether or not you think this thing could work for me. You're just sending me stuff to be like, hey, I told her about a thing.
There's 10%.
Know? Yeah. So
do managers, do they get a 10% of like the bottom line? Like if a comedian's like, hey, will you come do this show with me? It had nothing to do with the manager. Will they get percentage of that gig?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know.
I'm not probing and like looking for a specific angle on it. It's really just curiosity.
And yeah, I mean, and but not like my colleges or, you know, or my cruise ship stuff, like not that stuff, but like, you know, your, you know, all your other stuff, you know, so yeah.
I mean, it all evens out.
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah, it's disproportionate. Or if it is, you can get out of it. You realize it really quick.
Because now I can talk about it. But I had somebody who was like that, where they were just like, oh, you do colleges? Well, obviously we get 10% of that. And I'm like, but I'm already paying a percentage to my college agent.
And
I'm like, why do you get this too? And oh, you're doing cruise ships? We get that too. I remember these people even asked me straight up. They were like, well, do you sell merch? And I was like, yeah, I got a cup I sell for $5. And they're like, well, when you go to your shows, mark down how many cups you sell at the end of the night. And you give us a percentage of the cups. Whoa. And then I was like, I made these. I'm like, these are cups that I just bought and printed myself. Right. And I'm like, I'm doing this.
All right, I'm sorry.
Lord Jesus.
I know.
We're totally fine.
Put them back. But I want
to. But yeah, but it was such a. No, I think it's hilarious, actually. But, who doesn't want a purse? But it was just like I remember sitting there going, like, you want cups? Like cups that I bought? And it was like, yeah. And I'm like, but you know, the cups are only $5 a cup. And I'm like, you want 10% of, or it might have been 15 or something. I was like, you want 15% of a cup?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, yeah. like, does that not make, you know? And, you know, I remember telling Nat about it because I was like, first of all, I'm afraid of managers. And then Nat was like, Mia, like, nobody wants your cup money. She was like, what are you doing? Like, no, nobody. She's like, no. Uh-huh. You didn't, you know, but she's like, no, obviously not. So
you mentioned also, it's almost like agents for everything, I guess. Like you said, cruises, colleges,
you know, commercial agents, you know, acting, there's all that
corporate
stuff.
Are there corporate agents too?
Sometimes there's some, like, because like my college agents, they do some corporate stuff, and then they also like get people on ships and stuff like that, you know. So it's some people kind of do it all, but then, you know, I think like I don't do it personally, but I've seen people that are comedians that are also speakers, and like there's like speaker, you know,
speaker agents,
the agencies, all that kind of stuff too. So yeah, it's some of everything. Yeah.
As I've been looking towards, and this is really just in the past, I mean, pretty much since I did my taxes and added up everything from last year, I was like, okay, we need to make changes now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been transitioning into just thinking of other streams beyond just
yeah,
you know, $50 a show
right,
at
right.
a comedy club,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because that's, you know, that's
not sustainable.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I've gotten to the mindset of where I stop fighting the current and thinking of, oh, why am I not getting booked at this club? What's wrong with me here? Don't they know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which they will
yeah.
when I'm selling out, you know, clubs, and then I can take it off the top there.
Yeah,
like, oh, you owe me for all the other times you didn't book me.
Right. No, there's nothing more that I'm hoping for than that day. I am waiting for the day that I can tell people, oh, really? Remember June yeah. of 2014?
Right. It's on my Google calendar right
here.
Remember
how you didn't want to respond to my message?
Right.
Now, as my boyfriend says, he's like, you got an aggravation tax added
yeah.
to this. And I'm like, I want an aggravation tax. A lot of people. yeah. No, I'm not. I'm only partially kidding.
I think we all have a little part of us in there.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have it, but... You know, the look at me now. Right.
Ready for my close up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like when people are, you know, trying to get revenge against, you know, what is it? I remember my aunt once telling me the best revenge against someone you break up with is to live well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, or I live well and destroy them
exactly.
Afterwards. And I would like some payback.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not you, but yeah, I think it's all in us a little bit to be like, I just can't wait to go look at me.
I told you so.
Look at me. Oh, and also back to the manager conversation
yeah.
for a minute. I just want to let people know I'm not an expert.
But it's based on experience.
That. Yeah, but then I mean, just so the people are like, she don't know what she's talking about. Like, I am basing it on, like, to me, it's been now that I actually have a good manager, it's
mm-hmm.
just like, this is somebody who guides your career and can, you know, but yeah, like, you don't want someone recommending you for things that aren't a good fit. Like, I had someone who once was like, hey, I want you to read for this role. And they were like, well, and I read it. I said, well, you know, that role is topless. And they were like, no, it's not. And I said, yeah, it is. And they were like, no, it's not. And I go, I just read the breakdown for it. And they want you to be topless. And I was like, I don't want to be topless.
Whoa.
And then they were like, oh, okay, never mind. I could see how you might not want to do this. I'm like, or you could have just looked at it first. Like, don't send me on things like that. Like, don't, mm-hmm. don't, I don't want that recommendation, you know? So, and that's another thing too. Yeah. Make sure whoever it is, like, it's a good fit too. Like, you and that person have a good, you know, chatting relationship. Y'all can talk, you can call them and, hey, this is what I got going on, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. And I kind of think that's why I was all like, at first too, where I was like, what do managers do?
Like, right.
Exactly. I'm like, what are they? Do they just take?
So I guess the agents are the ones that are more like, here's a gig here,
yeah,
be there
yeah,
at this
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
then there you go. And then you get,
yeah.
like, they get 15 or 20, right?
Yeah, it depends.
It depends
yeah,
on the
yeah.
agency.
It depends, yeah.
yeah.
It shouldn't be any more than 20. I think, don't quote me on that, but
yes.
I know it's 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because I'm trying to think. Yeah, because I think when I had a cruise ship agent, I think it was 20, and I think college is 20, I think, is
yeah.
what I have. Yeah.
Because that's what's yeah. interesting you said about managers, is that it should be more of like there should be a rapport there. Because
yeah, yeah.
Kevin Hart's manager, Dave Becky, he said they've had a handshake agreement their entire
career.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's how, and that was another thing too. Like, I remember when I was all afraid, like when Nat and I were talking, and I was like, and they made me sign paperwork. And she's like, no, I'm not going to make you sign.
I was like,
oh my God, I don't have to sign anything. That's great. Because I mean, like I said, because some people they do try to take advantage of you. You know, there are
yeah.
people who will go like, oh, well, I think, you know, that person seems to be up and coming and I could capitalize on that. And then also you meet the people who have no business managing anybody at all. And they you know, they'll latch on to some comic and be like, oh my God, I should manage you. And then that person is not even getting enough work to sustain,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
having anything other than themselves at that point. So,
yeah, you're giving some good red flags, like, so, well, things to look for and mm-hmm. things to look out for as
yeah.
well.
And,
so
you know,
that's good.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, because I mean, and it's like I said, you want people that will, you know, I mean, and it's all entertainment. So everybody's going to lie a little bit. You know, everybody's going to be a little full of certain things. But I want whoever's going to lie to me the least
mm-hmm.
is kind of what I want. Like, who's going to tell me the least amount of lies that I can work with? You know what I'm saying? And like, because I had the, you know, the one, it was my cruise ship agent. We did not get along. I mean, I didn't feel like we got along at all. And yeah. I'm no longer with that company. And it was just like, I always felt like when I was, because that's another point I guess I could make. Whoever you work with too, you want to feel like they support you and you want to feel like they believe in what you're doing. And every time mm-hmm. I would talk, I would feel like I'd be pulling teeth like, yeah, I have enough material. Yeah. Well, do you really have 45 minutes? And I'm like, bitch. I don't know if I was allowed to curse or not, but it just hit me in the feels just then. But I'm just felt like, it. Like, ooh, I'm like, I you can't, that. Like, but it's, and it's like, y'all want somebody to be like, oh, well, I know Mia has 45. I know Mia has an hour, not a.
Right. Are you sure?
Are you sure? And I was and I'm like, yeah, why am I feeling like I'm pulling teeth? Like, I should have to prove to you, like, I was hoping the reason that you put me on your roster is because you thought I was capable of it, you know? So,
exactly.
So, that's the thing. So I think you want to work with somebody that you know you have a good rapport with, somebody that, you know, because sometimes stuff works out, sometimes stuff doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want people that you feel like, and shout out to my college agents because, like, they're super cool people. And, nice. Like, you know, if I hit them up about something and, hey, you know what, I'll get back to you, I'll let you know, or something's coming up, they let me know. I mean, I get messages from them, I talk to them, and I know what's happening. Like, I'll know if, like, with the, because with colleges, they don't always have the check right there on site. So sometimes they'll do the net 30, and sometimes it'll be, oh, you know, once the performance is completed, then we can put it into our system, then we can give you the check. And in some schools are, oh, we knew you were coming, so now we can, you know, sometimes right. you don't get the check when you get done with the college show. And so they're always good about telling me, like, okay, you know what, you just finished such and such school, as soon as we get the check, and they'll send an email, hey Mia, we deposited your check, and I'll be like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, there are so many ways to use the skill of stand-up beyond just a traditional work your way up in the club mm-hmm. and pay your dues that way.
Right.
How are you looking? What are kind of different streams you're looking at as well?
Like, besides clubs or just maybe. Other things
well,
in
like
general?
For, just to bounce it off, like the pivot I'm making right now is I'm looking at, okay, how can I get into the corporate world more? Because I've mm-hmm. done some, like, people will pay for, like, team building experiences.
Oh, yeah, they sure
so
will. Yep.
I've been working with a company a little bit and just almost, like, hosting the event and becoming, like, the facilitator of the entire event mm-hmm. just to add a new energy into it.
Yeah, and I was a trainer before, so I know that people use stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
At companies. Like, in fact, at my old day job, we hired an improv group once to, like, come in as part of the team building mm-hmm. thing, and it was like, this is so cool. And I remember going, I wonder if this could be done for stand-up, you know? So but for me, like, right now, I'm just, you know, clubs, colleges, just pretty much whoever will book me. I'm not a good enough of an actress to be like, you know what, I think I want my own show mm-hmm. because that means I have to memorize lines, and I would just rather someone let me do what I want to do on television, and no one's gonna let me do that because I'm not famous. But if I was, it mm-hmm. would be a sitcom totally based around me doing whatever I wanted.
Well, didn't you say you wanted a talk show?
I did want, you know, I still do. Yeah, Joel, yes, I still want a talk show. Thank you.
I remember.
I would still love, because people love to tell me things. Mm-hmm. And I would love, yes, I would love a talk show. I would love to go. I just want to have glasses on like Oprah and just look at people and go, go on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to say, and I want to go, I was reading your book, and on page 37, you said, I guess I just want to say that once to somebody.
Are you still, are you doing anything
towards that? Of course, because I'm not, of course not, because I just remembered just now when you said that. I was like,
maybe we had a breakthrough here.
That was something I said I want. I need a personality-driven project.
I'll take 10% of that.
I'll give you 10%. I would totally give you 10%. But if I do make cups and sell them, then I'll just keep the Mia Jackson talk show cup money.
Of course. You get your cup money.
Thank you. I just want my cup money. Give me my cup money. I'm not asking for much.
But since you've been in the corporate world, how would you recommend me almost breaking into that? Or
Because I'm trying to think how we booked stuff or got people. Like, even when it came to the bringing the improv group in, like, people knew that I did stand up. And mm-hmm. so they were like, well, do you know anybody? And everybody knows stand ups and improv don't talk to each other. No, I'm just, you know, they don't talk to each other. No, but I did know people. And so the people that were in improv that I knew, like I reached out to them. And then like, I think it was Do More Improv. I don't know if you ever met them, but but it was, but they came in and I remember like, I think I recommended them and then we got them again for something else at the company, but it just came from like them going, oh, we know someone that does comedy. So it wasn't more like a, oh, we should just reach out to the administrative assistant, because I've been an administrative assistant at a company before and have gotten stuff in and been like, I don't know what this is. Like, I'm not going to send this to my manager. But when people used to give me gift cards for stuff, I would go, I think I can pass this along.
Oh,
because I remember it was somebody at one of my jobs. They wanted me to pass along like some brochures or something to people. And I'm kind of like, no, I'm not going to do that. But you did give me a gift card. So I will, you know, so some companies, I knew when we had like bigger corporate events, like when it was stuff like, oh, this is the company wide something, like whoever was the coordinator of the event, like their title at the job wasn't something like, oh, that's the entertainment director for our company. But it might have been, if it was a whatever department was sponsoring that thing, it might have been, well, so I guess you could speak to some administrative assistants, because sometimes the executive assistants or the administrative assistants are the ones that are putting on the event. So okay. Sometimes they get responsible for reaching out to different people and, you know, and just like,
so assistant is their title. That would be
executive assistants, administrative assistants, you know, and like I said, but with mine was just like within a team in a one big department. And they're like, oh, well, you are a comedian. So do you know someone who could come do this thing? And so that's, you know, so even sometimes stuff like that happens, referrals.
Referrals. To other, so that seems to be even, almost instead of trying to find new connections, it's assessing the ones you have.
Yeah. And like, I remember somebody telling me once that they're like, if you work with someone before, they were like, every couple of years, every couple of months, like, go through and send emails to that person, you know, just send a, hey, how are you doing? And then they're, oh, hey, I heard from you in a while, you know, how are you? And then you kind of start a rapport that mm-hmm. way. But yeah, but I used to, like I said, when I was an administrative assistant, people would call, hey, you know, like, I mean, just even like basic conversations. Like, oh, hey, do you guys, because you could cold call in a way. I mean, like I had people asking me about like, what are your print services? What do you buy your ink cartridge? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd be like, oh, and then that person would send me movie tickets. And I would go, make sure we start using your ink. Thank you.
Movie tickets.
So basically I'm saying I can be bought very easily.
You're not alone. I'm sure that can be within that industry.
Yeah. So there are some people, I know some companies when they do have bigger events, if it's not just like if it's not just something contained to that company, like some people will use outside meeting planners, you know, to put stuff on for them because they're doing something on such a larger scale where it's not just, oh, well, this is in our offsite building and we're going to have lunch today and then we're going to bring in somebody we're going to set up a cornhole game out over in the corner. Like, it's, you know, like it's more than just that. But like, I remember, I think like when we had our Christmas parties and stuff, like I remember the executive assistants and admin assistants being the one that like, I'm going to book the venue, I'm going to do this thing, and we're going to get, you know, all this stuff going. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes entertainment wise, it would just be referrals. Like, I mean, more, yeah. But some people, like I said, they use meeting planners. And like I said, not a lot of corporate companies aren't going to have just like we have a dedicated entertainment department because, you know, like we're an IT company. Why would we have that? You know, mm-hmm. so you just got to find those other ways to get into the, you know, or even contacting some of the C-level people and find it, or looking at who the C-level people are in the company.
What is that?
C-level, like the chief executive officers, you know, chief financial officers, the
CEO. The brass.
Yeah, but like those people usually have administrative assistants or executive assistants. Uh-huh. So you could be like, to the executive assistant of CEO Mia Jackson, And then that person is like, oh, I got a flyer for Joel Byers, and Joel Byers sent me some candy.
Boom.
I hope he's not trying to murder me. But if you send a gift card, they will know you aren't trying to murder
That's
them.
That's why I like the movie, because I was thinking, oh, Starbucks. But I was like, never mind.
No,
not
don't.
Not anymore.
And that was the gift card I had gotten, but this was years ago.
This before. Is before you woke.
We this is before last week.
Yeah, we're not. We won't go there. This is more of an educational.
This is a. But yeah, but somebody sent me AMC movie cards, and and that's why I started using that person's printing. I started buying recycled ink cartridges from that person because the guy would call all the time. But you know what, Mia? I want to send you some movie cards, some movie gift cards, just for taking my call. And I would go, "You're silly. Here's my address."
Did anybody ever reach out through LinkedIn? Did anybody go that route? Is that too unprofessional though?
Let me see. Well, because when I was informal. Doing the admin stuff, LinkedIn didn't exist.
True that.
But I just actually got just like a lot of cold calls. Like when people would, if they were trying to push anything, it would be the use our services. Hey, we're going to have it might be some company that's like, oh, we want to come in and talk about a product. So can you hand these flyers out, because we want to present this to these people in your company, you know. So it would be that kind of I would get just straight up calls or just stuff in the mail and be like, what is this? But like once I became more of a like, hey, I'm part of a department and not the front line of defense for something, then a lot of that stuff just became referrals. Because even now, like somebody from my old job who now works in DC contacted me one day and was like, hey, we're actually having an event at our thing. Like, would you be available to do this thing? But again, another referral, because that person had been tasked with it, but they don't book entertainment for their company. They just like, can you find somebody? Do you know somebody? We're going to have this event. And you know, people are in the meetings like, oh, what if we do this? Or what if we put this together? So that's how a lot of it would happen when I was at my old job.
But referrals, it seems to be the universal currency.
Referrals is always, referrals, recommendations. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always that's how I've gotten pretty much everything I've done for the most part. I mean, especially things I think about in recent years is because someone went, oh, you should take a look at her. Oh, you should check Mia Jackson out. You should, you know.
Get good first, though.
But get good get first. Good, like, nobody want to be... Right. Nobody wants to see you talking about nothing. Or you get an opportunity that you're not prepared for. You know, where then people be like, we had a luncheon the other day and yikes. Like, you don't want that to happen. Yeah.
It's cool to see you. You did it. And I'm trying to follow your career path in that, okay, let me get good at comedy and then try to figure out a way to bring awareness to this business I've grown. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you were funny first, which I think people need to understand.
Yeah, like,
funny first, and then you got the referrals because you were worth the time. Don't 2 years in, like, where are my referrals?
Yeah, because I've had people be like, listen, I need to know what you did. Like, I remember, what was it? It was some years ago when I... did the Soul Train Awards, and it was 2009, 2010, and I wrote for the Soul Train Awards. I got that because of a referral. Big Kenny, shout out to Big Kenny. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, can you send in a writing sample? Sure. And I remember, you know, I think the 2 years that I was involved, I got on air both years, like I was in a sketch in one of them, and then I was in a sketch in two of them, I think. And I remember like somebody contacting me and just going, hey, like I saw you, you know, on the thing. Like, how'd you do that? Like, I want to know what you did, because I feel like I'm funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but everybody feels like they're funny, you know? And then I remember writing back and saying, oh, well, you know, I had to submit a writing sample and I had to do this and I had to do this. And the response was, okay, thanks. So I've gotten that quite
oh, it's work.
The purse woke up.
It's work.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, never mind. I didn't know it was work.
Yeah, so a lot of people just think you just, you know, they think you just get up. They think you just, things just came out of thin air. They think that it just happened.
Magic.
Yeah, they think it just, yeah. And then you're like, oh, no, no. You know, like, well, I saw you working at such and such. Like, how did that happen? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I was in clubs for 15 years first. And I went to a lot of open mics. Uh-huh. I got my feelings hurt. I was sweating on stage. I was damp and I was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got better and then I got embarrassed again.
Yep.
Then, and that's how I ended up, at Phillips Arena, guys, by being in pain. It's that kind of thing where it's like, you got to put in a lot of work first, but like I said, I definitely get the, I remember somebody asking me once, they were like, well, I heard that somebody told me that it takes like 10 years to find your voice. I asked a lot of people that. So I'm asking you, what do you think? And I was like, that's about right.
Mm.
No, but I'm saying like, but what do you think though? And I was like, no, I'm telling you like, that's the same. I'm giving you the exact same answer. No, but what you don't understand is I'm asking you. And I went, no, that is the answer. And so sometimes I'll get people asking me the same thing over and over because they want to hear something different because they don't want to hear about the
word. They don't want the truth.
They don't want to hear that you've been, just sweating it out, and performing in front of 2 and 3 people.
Getting booed. Have you gotten booed before?
I remember getting booed and getting... not only did I get booed, I want to say this all happened within 6 months of each other, too. Because I'll tell the story now. It's not even that. This was when they had the, it was the Miller Lite contest thing a few years ago.
Yeah.
And this was like the year, because I think every year, I think 1 year Marlon Wayans was like Marlon Wayans looking for somebody funny. The next year it was like Kevin Hart was looking for somebody funny. And it was the year Kevin Hart was looking for somebody funny. And I was at, I think it was still called, was it Center Stage?
Center Stage,
man?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was there and it just did not work. And it wasn't that I got booed so much as it was half of the room was like, we want to get this little girl some claps. And then the other half of the room was like, and there were people that were tweeting and Instagram, and I didn't even have Instagram at the time, but people just like, who is this bitch? Like, God. And other people being like, I think she's really funny. And other people being like, ugh. But I could remember just feeling real damp and hot on stage. Mm-hmm. And that might've been because I was wearing some suede shoes in the summer, which is neither here nor there, but probably very important to why I was sweating.
So the big break.
But yeah, I just, and I just remember going like, oh God, like what? I thought I was good before
that. Man, a lot of confidence rolling
into
that.
Thought I was good. And I remember, I think when Kevin Hart was giving out the judgment, he was like, because I can tell she's a newer comic. And I was like,
How long have you been doing it at that point?
I think at the time I've been like doing it like 9 or 10. And I was just like, oh dear. And I was like, he thinks I'm a new comic. I was like, I have failed.
Wow.
I have failed. And I didn't want to talk about it for a long time. I was just like, yeah, there was this thing where I got booed, but wow. I was like, oh, but yeah, but people were just tweeting. And then a few months later I did I did a college show and it just, I think there I actually got booed.
At a college.
At a college. Whoa. Like I got booed. I think they had keys. They had all kinds of just stuff going on. And that was that one was bad because my mom and dad were sitting in the front row. And I'm like cussing out children. I was just like, don't nobody give a shit about this. I was like, I don't know. Can I curse? Because I don't know. And
yeah,
I was just
you
like,
can,
don't
please.
Nobody care. And I was like, don't nobody care about y'all school. I'm kind of like, I got a degree. When you gonna get yours? And
My gosh. Do you remember the school? What school?
I do. It was Tuskegee University. They hated my guts. People were tweeting like, oh God. And then there were other people who were tweeting and saying stuff like, because I want to say my sister may have been in college at the time at Georgia Southern, I believe. And so I think she knew some people that went there. And she was just like, I think people were saying mean things about you. And then like some people were, kind of like, oh, come on, man. This ain't how we treat people that come to our school. And so it was tweets of support like, man, I'm so embarrassed. And I remember somebody messaging me on Twitter and was like, hey, I'm sorry, like that's not representative of how our school, you know, works. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, I can't sit there and go, it was their fault. Like, it was like, it was, I remember, because the it wasn't that, I'm about to say, are you peeing now? No. But I still remember that day, like I went, because it's not far from where my parents live. The school is not that far from there. And I remember I had gotten off work. I think I took a half day. And then when I came down, my mom was like, why don't you take a nap first? I'm like, oh, no, I got to do stuff. And I just remember being extremely tired, didn't rest or any of that stuff. And so I wasn't in the right mind space. I wasn't prepared. Like, and so when I went in there, I kind of went in there kind of, you know, not with an attitude, but just kind of like, oh, like I'm exhausted. I don't want to be here. And, you know, then some of the students were like, you know, one of the people on the show was like, well, are you going to be like the person that was here last year? Because we had somebody last year that got booed off the stage.
No.
Are you going to be like that person? And I'm like, no, bitch. Like, I ain't going to be like that person. And I'm like,
you know who I am?
I was absolutely wrong. Yeah, but it was within them 6 months, it was like they were within, no, it might have been, yeah, they were within 6 months of each other, where I just remember going like, oh God, like, what have I done? Like, I am a terrible, terrible comic. And yeah, and I was just like, oh God. And I remember they broke out into the electric slide en masse after the show. And I was like, you know what? I don't even deserve to do the electric slide with them, because I did so bad. Like, it was such a bad set. And then, and I remember I was scared for a long time just to be like, maybe I'm not meant to be in front of very large crowds. You know, maybe that's not, maybe I'm not supposed to perform in front of more than 200 people. I'm not a 200 plus comic.
But when you're in those slumps, you'll convince yourself of anything.
Oh, absolutely. And then maybe, and then if that happened in October of 2012, the college bombing, then in June of 2013, that's when Chappelle came to the Tabernacle.
And you got to open for him.
And I got to do those shows. And I remember being like, oh God, I really hope I don't get booed in front of
this. Oh, you were worried about getting booed then?
I was good, because I was just like, you know, because from the prior year, I'm like, I've had two shows in front of big crowds where I'm like, did not go well. And then I went and did that show. And then I remember looking at, like, I ended up looking at some of the Ticketmaster comments. And people were like, there was this girl that opened the show and she was great. She was amazing. And I'm like,
yeah,
I did it. I was like, I'm not a terrible comic. But also somewhere in between that time, from like the fall of 2012 into the spring of 2013, like I had just, I remember I started working out, and I just mentally got better in a better place. You know, just got to just like, I felt better about myself. I felt like I looked better on stage, and it just made something change, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I can go do this. I can perform in front of this crowd. I can do this, you know? And then it went well. And then I was like, I'm not embarrassed. But I can look at those other two stories and go like, what was I doing? I'm like, you know what? I wasn't really prepared. I was in my head a whole lot, and just kind of like, it didn't work. But yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. Yeah.
Do you find, because I've gone through a slump a little bit lately, and then just had like a recent like thing that kind of like, oh, never mind, maybe it's not all so bad. Mm-hmm. Do you find there is like, you have found a balance when there's a low, you just got to keep perspective?
Yeah.
There's a high around the corner.
Yeah. And then just, you just kind of assess, like, you know, like, well, what did I do wrong? Because I remember doing a show, was it last year, year before? But it was like a Valentine's Day show. And those people were not trying to hear me at all at that show, because I'm like, they want to go home because it's Valentine's Day. Right. They want to have hot, lovely relations.
Yes.
They don't want to be in here tonight watching me talk about nothing. Mm-hmm. And like, they were just kind of antsy and talking. And I was just like, oh, you know, getting an attitude with the people. And I was just like, forget them, you know. Oh. And then I just remember at the end of the show, my boyfriend was like, what is wrong with you? And he was like, why'd you act that way during the show? He was like, Mia, you were wrong. Like, you were wrong. He was like, you didn't even try. He was like, you just went up there and was like, oh, they ain't even listening anyway, so forget these people, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
oh my God, you know? And so I was just like, you're right. But it just made me go, like, I remember getting all huffy at the time and getting the attitude, like, how you gonna tell me that what I did, like, no, they were the problem. And I'm like, no, I was a big problem. Yeah. Like, I didn't get control of the situation. And so that's what I try to do after shows like that, or I try to go, even when I get an attitude or even when I get mad, and the next day I just have to go, all right, like, what, now that I'm removed from it and my feelings aren't as hurt, you know, what did I do? Like, where can I take some accountability for how that show turned out? Because you can't just blame, you want to blame the audience. And don't get me wrong, some, there are some audiences where you're like, these people are the worst, you know, but when situations where I was like, you know what, they weren't the worst because they were responding to some of the other people. I just wasn't doing something to connect with them. And I got to figure out what I was doing to not connect, you know.
That's so on point. The self-awareness and self-actualization and, like you said, accountability.
Yeah.
That's gold. So, yeah. Mia Jackson, thank you for doing this again.
Listen,
you're only the second repeat guest. You and Clayton English, the only two. So...
It's are you coming to the festival this week? Are you in the festival?
I didn't make the, you know, I'm done fighting the currents. I'm done fighting the currents.
Oh my God.
I'm just following what's working.
Get out of here.
Well, I mean.
But are you coming to hang out at least? Are you?
Probably. I mean, I'm booked Saturday and I'm booked tomorrow.
So the answer is no.
So maybe Sunday.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't even know when the festival ends though.
I think it's Sunday. I don't know. I don't know either. I think it's Sunday.
I'm doing another interview on Sunday. So maybe I'll. Maybe just stay out after the interview. But yeah, you know, no, I didn't. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. No, that's the thing I've learned with everything. I'm like, it is fine.
Yeah.
Because what was it? Can I say this too before I go? Like,
no,
because
yeah.
You know, I have lots of things to say. But like, I can, like, and even since JFL, like, I've had conversations with other comics that are just like, if they don't pick me, you know, then forget them or how, you know, and I was just like, hey, do you know how long I've been doing comedy before? You know what I'm like? You've been doing comedy 3 days. Like, calm down. Like, you'll, like, it's going to be fine. Like, you know, but I just remember going, you know what? Some things happen when they are supposed to. And I know it sounds all new agey and weird, but it's like, you know what? Like, I remember telling one of my friends when I got, I was just like, oh my God. And I was like, does it seem like I've been doing comedy forever? And then I, you know, got it. And my friend was like, you know what, Mia? I'm going to point this out to you. She said, look at your work ethic prior to when, she's like, you know, look at it now since you only had to do comedy. Look at your work ethic to when you still had your day job and you were pursuing comedy. So she was like, so this tracks for a person that's been going at it as hard as you have in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. Mm. She's like, well, it does make sense that you would get it, you know? And I was like, oh my God. You know,
yeah.
And so, but it was such a great thing to do. But like, I can, you know, I see, you know, it's just those things where it's like you said, you sometimes just have to say to yourself, like, all right, you know what? Like, if I get this thing, I get it. And if I don't get this thing, I don't, you know, and like, I'm not supposed to do everything. Like, I have to tell myself that all the time, like, you ain't supposed to do everything. You're not a good fit for everything.
Right.
You're not supposed to do everything. Some things you're supposed to do, some things you're not supposed to do. You know, so when I hear people kind of get bent out of shape about, well, I didn't get picked for this festival, or, you know, I didn't get into this thing, or I didn't get into that thing. And it's like, you know, and it's okay. Like, it's okay, you know? And, you know, and that's kind of, you know, and then I've had conversations with friends who are like, well, you can say that now because you've done it. You know, you've done that thing. And I'm like, but still, I'm like, there was a time where I had not done those things, you know? And so.
Don't take it personal.
Yeah. You know, and that's the Four Agreements? Have you ever heard of that? It's a, I forget the author of the book, but it's something called the Four Agreements. And one of the things that it says is like, don't take things personal, because it was like, stuff's not about you. You know,
but that's why I stopped. And when I say fighting the current, it is like that negative energy of, how did I not get into this festival? I've reached out to this club. I've done well there and they didn't rebook me and like all this. Instead of like fighting the current on why isn't this happening, focus on, oh, why is this happening?
Yeah,
is working.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and moving so, in the, where the momentum is.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I'm very grateful for, you know, all the things that I've been able to do or the things that I've been able to experience and all this stuff. And I've, and then sometimes when, you know, some of those things happen, you're like, I did that thing, or okay, like, cool. You know, like, that's a cool thing to happen. And I have a thing to part of my life, and, you know, and so for the people that are out there that are listening, it's like, just, you know, don't worry about it. You know, like, it's a, I mean, you want to worry about it, but it's like, it's fine. Like, don't think because you're doing something 2 days that you're supposed to get, you know, a festival. Or don't think because you've been doing something, you know, you've been going hard at it for a month, that means, you know, because it's like, no, it takes a, you know, it takes a build up. It takes a process. So like I said, when I got to do JFL, I was just like, oh my God, I can't.
A little validation.
And it was just like, this is so cool. You know, like, oh, but you know, but I, you know, and I, like I said, my friend was just like, no, look at your work ethic. She was like, your work ethic. She was like, it matches to why you would have, you know, why you got it. You know, and I was like, I do have a work ethic, don't I?
Are you big on goal setting too?
Here and there, I probably should be a little bit better about it. But one of the things I used to try to take, that was actually one of the things I would take from my job, that was that they used to teach us about SMART goals, you know, the S-M-A-R-T goals, where you make your goals specific, you make it measurable. And I think it's either action, so it's either actionable or accountable. I forgot what the R was, but the T is time-based. So you set up goals by saying stuff like, instead of going, I want to lose 40 pounds, you go, I want to lose 40 pounds by July 1st, 2018, because now you have that time in your head to go, now I got something to work for, because otherwise you just leave something open-ended, you know? And then it's funny because one of the, when I was moving last year, I actually found some of the stuff I had written down like years ago, where I think one of the things on there was like, I want to do JFL. I want to be on Last Comic Standing. What? And it was like, I want a college agent. And I was like, oh my God, like as I'm throwing stuff away and I'm like, all this stuff happened. I was like, I did those things. I'm like, those things happened. I'm like, I did write it down somewhere. I didn't write a date next to it, which I probably should have. But it was just cool to go, oh, you know, that's a, you know.
Wow.
So, but yeah, but it helps for like material wise too. Like, oh, you know, I want another 5 minutes. You know what? I'm going to try to set a goal to go and, you know, by 2 months from now, I want to have a new 5 minutes. And then so within your head, you go, all right, well, I'm going to have a new 5 minutes by this date. Then I got to be on stage every night until that date. So
just part of the work. People don't want to
part of the work.
What's
people.
The secret? How do you? Well, you got to be on stage every night of your life.
Yeah, it's so many people.
It's a lot of work.
There's no secret but to do the work, and some people don't want to do the work. So,
well, it's not for everybody, but it is for you.
It is. I hope so. Yeah.
And
so
I that was a cue for you to say, and it is for you too, Joel. And it, but that's fine. Don't worry about
Joel,
it.
Joel, listen. You know you are the hardest working man. In comedy.
Not the funniest, but he tries the
you
hardest.
Stop it. You were very funny.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I do love your irreverence on stage. I just remember the first time I saw you back when you had your mustache. I was like, who is this dude that's just talking shit about everybody? I'm like, he's just so... I was like, I've never seen a person just more common to be like, all right, ma'am. And I'm like...
The mustache.
I remember the mustache.
Yeah, you were in the mustache era.
I remember the mustache era. I like the non-mustache era, though.
I appreciate,
I feel like this changed your career. No mustache.
See, it's all trying to look
that's
professional.
Really, that's what really what it's all about. No mustaches and setting goals.
Boom.
That's gold. And I say that for the women, too, because I need to go get mine waxed today.
Well, Miss Jackson... Before
thank you.
Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
You know what? People can go to my website, MiaJackson.com. I also have a fan page, which on the Facebooks, which there's a video of mine about me being tall that people keep watching. So thank you for
like
watching.
3 million? Or
yes! That's like a lot of views.
A lot of views.
My fan page went from like, I think I had like 1,000 fans, and I was just like, it says I have 3,000 likes in 1 week. I was like, what happened? I'm like, oh, it's this video.
That and video blown up.
It's been super cool. So like, yeah, so.
And that just happened organically? Woke up and were like, oh, this video blew up.
Laughs TV shared it. And it was funny because they'd shared it before. And then all of a sudden, like, people were like, oh, you know, I saw this on my timeline or I saw this thing. And like, I think my boyfriend said someone was like, hey, did you know Mia had this video? And he was like, yeah, I was there when it happened. But he was just like some random person that he knew that was like, oh, look at this, you know, and tagged him in it. And he's like, I guess a lot of people are seeing this video. And like, people have just been a bunch of tall people hitting me up and going like, oh my God, this is my life. This is my life. You know, so it's been super cool. So I have a fan page, just comedian Mia Jackson on Facebook. And, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Mia Comedy. I don't really tweet a whole lot. I'm more of a retweeter.
Yeah, I don't really tweet either.
Yeah, but I do. I will take some snapshots and put them on Instagram.
Hey, now.
I will do that and let the people know.
That you're beyond bangs now. You actually Ryan, got the some, full get up.
I got full hair. You know what? I just, because I had bangs for so long where I was like, you know what? I would like to know what it feels like to do like this once. I just want to look at people and go.
Hypnotized.
That was dramatic and was amazing. And doesn't look right. But nonetheless, you know how I feel.
And you know how I feel about you, Mama Mia. So thanks for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Joel. Oh,
all right. Have a good one. I think that's it.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
it. Are we still on?
We are still on live.
Did anybody watch us?
It looks like all those people
are people
did.
Commenting? Did people say stuff?
I can't see. Love me some Mia Jackson.
Woo woo! Mia is trying to live.
Labeled water means you made it.
And oh, do I get, oh, that's right. I get to keep labeled water. Mics
capturing gold. Yeah. Love Mia. Yeah, people were commenting.
People were commenting.
We made it.
Hey now.
Well, did that just die?
I think it did.
Well, that's perfect timing then.
Perfect.
All right. Well,
aw, this is so
adorable. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Hot breath. Oh, bruh. Or should I say hot bruh the verse? Ha. You see what I did there? Oh my gosh. That was so much information packed into it. I really enjoyed hearing about the management side and hearing how she's worked with a good manager and the traits of a good manager and then the traits of a bad manager and what to look out for. I hope that saves you a lot of time and energy down the road of your career. Or it provides nice insight into if you're just a comedy fan. I don't mean just as in just a comedy fan. I love you dearly. You hold such a near and dear place in all of our hearts of comedians. The little bit of hearts we have. Oh, that was a joke of a comedian. You get it? But I enjoyed hearing the lessons she learned the hard way. And really, the professionalism tips as far as even just how to email people, how to follow up with people, the organization, all the nuances of being a comedian that get completely overlooked. That is a lot of things she addressed today. And it was very insightful for me and very timely in just the direction I'm trying to take my career right now. From just being a, you know, a sustaining comedian to an actual professional, thriving businessman. So I appreciate you guys and our hot brethren and sistren, if you will. I appreciate you all for really going along this journey with me. I think even if you jump back to Mia's first interview on episode 5, you'll be able to hear a difference just in my overall interview style and overall just everything. We evolve. It's amazing. Like she said, the work you put in, the results you'll get out. And I've put in hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work into honing my interviewing and also just my overall podcasting. So I think you'll be able to tell a big difference between the first interview I did with her and then this one. Both very entertaining and informative. This one I'd like to say is a lot more professional and polished, but either way, still rambling on in the outro. All my old interviews, I sound like Terry Gross. I always try to be the NPR voice in this. Yes, tell me more. But if you do want to know more about me, joelbyerscomedy.com is the website. On there is my schedule and links. You know, I have a comedy class. I teach an 8-week comedy course on Sundays here at Highwire Comedy in Atlanta. And the next round is up. You can register at highwirecomedy.com or joelbyerscomedy.com. I only keep it to 15 slots. The past probably like 5 rounds have sold out. So if you'd like to go ahead and take advantage of your spot, go ahead and just reserve it real quick, and I'll be seeing you in June. If you have any questions about it, you know, I'm on social media at Joel Byers Comedy on Facebook and Instagram and all that jazz. Or you can just say what's up to me. Come see me live. I host a show every Wednesday at Java Monkey in Decatur, Georgia. It's a free show I've been doing there almost 7 years. I'd love to have you come out, maybe perform or maybe just watch. So I hope to meet you there. I've had some people come out and be like, I heard you on the podcast, and it still makes my heart smile hearing those. So thank you for all your continued support in this hot breath-averse journey we're going on here. I also do one-on-one coaching if you're interested in not really committing to an 8-week class, but you're more of like, I have this big show coming up, and I just want to punch up a few jokes here. I do one-on-one sessions as well. So just holla at your boy if you're interested. But otherwise, thanks for hanging out. I really do appreciate it, and I don't take it for granted. So on the outro here, I always end by thanking my engineer, Amon Garner. He has been with me since the beginning. Not the first couple where I referenced borrowing some audio equipment, but very soon after that, we linked up. And once I got my own equipment, I was like, okay, I guess I can. I'm an independent podcaster now. So he always keeps these sounding crisp and clear. And of course, my wife, Erin Byers, our podcast is called Byers Life. If you want to hear a completely different side of me and my life and more of Guinness, if you want to hear more of Guinness, there's definitely more Guinness on Byers.life, on iTunes and Spotify and all that jazz, wherever you can find podcasts. And Hot Breath is now on YouTube as well, my Joel Byers comedy account. If you want to actually watch and see Guinness, he'll be on there in 4K. So anyway, said all that to say, that rhymed. Until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.